Hey, it's Elle.
And M.
And you're listening to the Baby Project Podcast.
In this podcast, we will discuss our journeys as well as other warriors going through the ups and downs of infertility.
There's ups?
Yes, there's ups.
Okay. As a reminder, be kind to yourself and skip as needed. We know some topics may be triggering. Let's get talking.
This is episode 17.
Four journeys, one goal. Never been done before. We will be talking to not one, two, or three, but four incredible women with four different stories and one common goal that we all share. We have Sarah, Leah, Courtney, Jenny, who we will get to know today. We will also dive into what they've all created together. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, welcome. So since there is the six of us today, we'll kind of go down the line and introduce you guys to the world. So we'll start off with Jenny. If you could tell us a little bit about yourself. So where you are in your journey, how many years you've been riding the TTC bus? And if you had a headliner to describe yourself or your journey, what would that be?
Okay, my name is Jenny Belange. I have been on this journey for about almost 5 years now. I have been through two IVFs, the first one being unsuccessful. The second one was actually very successful. I had 9 embryos. And after doing genetic testing, I actually transferred a very strong embryo. And unfortunately, after 6.5 weeks, I miscarried on a very strong embryo. So that was very difficult because you think when you do the genetic testing route, it's kind of more like a guarantee. But in my case, the HCG was rising, but baby wasn't growing and I never heard a heartbeat. So that to me was probably one of my toughest curveballs through the journey. But like I said, I'm very blessed. I do have 5 other embryos. They are untested and I am currently still trying to conceive and trying to stay emotionally, mentally, you know, positive about the whole situation. So that's a little bit about where I'm at in terms of my journey. To describe myself, I'd say that I am a believer. Even though I have been through some really tough times on this journey, I find that I try to find light even on my darkest days. I'm an elementary school teacher, so I really try hard to instill that in all of my grade 2 students, and they keep things positive for me. And if I had to describe like a headliner for me and my journey, I would call it Stay in the Arena. And that is actually based on a quote by Theodore Roosevelt. And I will actually read you the quote. But what was cool was I was listening to a podcast by Brené Brown, and she changed the quote from man to woman. So this is where my chapter comes from. It is not the critic who counts, not the woman who points out how the strong woman stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the woman who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends herself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if she fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that her place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So for me, it's just about no matter what, after a miscarriage, staying in the arena, after a failed IVF, staying in the arena. So that's kind of my little tidbit about myself.
Wow, that is powerful. That is powerful stuff. And thank you. Thank you for sharing that quote with us as well.
Thank you.
I was actually thinking while you were saying light in the darkness and even just meeting you for this small amount of time, I feel like you are a light. Like Aww. You, her, you know, just your essence is a light within this dark, shitty world that we're in.
Thank you so much. And this dark, shitty journey that right? we've all been on.
She's definitely our positivity person amongst the four of us. That's for sure. We get little quotes from her sometimes to kind of keep us going during this journey. So
yeah, she's very inspirational
that way. Yeah.
Thank you, ladies. I just try to find the light even through this. And I'll just add that, you know, for me, writing this chapter has helped me to get to that place of healing. Because I'm still on the journey, it's just gotten me to a place of, okay, if I become a mom or I don't become a mom, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like I've done the work to get to that place.
Which is like already a good takeaway for somebody listening to this, that maybe writing it down can be therapeutic and helpful for some, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see who's next on our list. Leah.
Yes. Hi. So I'm Leah Dyes. I've been on this journey for 6 years and, you know, been to multiple different clinics and done all the things. And our second time with IVF, we did conceive. And I have a son now, and he will be a month old in a couple days. So it's pretty amazing. And even just to say I have a son is incredible. And I still can't believe it. So we feel very blessed. And, you know, I know so many people on this journey, you don't know if you'll ever get there. And so for us to have him, he's just like our little miracle. And, you know, we're just so grateful every day. For my headline, I guess I'm a very big Disney enthusiast, and I believe in the magic. You know, I just keep on believing and your dream will come true. But my kind of story is more just rewriting my own fairy tale I had in my head growing up of what life would look like, and trying to have a baby for 6 years was not part of that fairy tale. So just kind of wrapping my head around the disappointment and sadness and shame that brings, you know, it was a big personal growth. And I am also a teacher, and I really believe in lifelong learning. And that's what I love most about my job, is every day is different and I'm constantly learning. And this journey has forced me to learn a lot about myself and to let go. I'm quite rigid. So, you know, this is something we don't have control over. So that was a big challenge for me, and just to try to enjoy the process, which is very difficult to say. But just like Jenny, you know, I was finally in a place where I was going to be okay, regardless of what happened. And it wasn't until then that, you know, we decided to try IVF again, and this was the result. So, you know, rewriting my own fairy tale was my takeaway.
Magic, I tell you, magic. Well, congratulations on your little one. That is wonderful. We love hearing success stories.
Yeah. Thank you.
It helps us to keep going.
Yes. Yeah. It was a struggle. And I have to say, like, the whole time being pregnant, it's scary, you know, and you're just waiting for that shoe to drop, which is so unfortunate in some ways. Like I just soaked it all in, because you just never know what can happen. So and even delivering, like, you know, we just feel so blessed he's actually here and healthy, and it is truly amazing.
It's so hard. It's so hard to bring down those walls that you kept up for so long and enjoy those moments without waiting, you know, for that other shoe to drop, mm-hmm. and to just kind of go with it. It's easier said than done.
Very true.
How about Sarah?
Hi. All right. So I have been on this journey for about 9 years now. Been married for 10, and I've always been, you know, I've always been told you're starting off at a young age. Got married pretty young. So, we were both in our 20s or early 20s, and just starting off with the idea that, you know, this is what you plan. And this is what you plan since you're young. Same along with kind of Jenny and Leah. We've always been in the field of education throughout my family. So I've always been around children, and I have 9 nephews and niece. So just kind of always being around that, being the youngest child in the family. My 5-year goal was always, when I grow up, this is my family. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married. We're going to have a child and just start our own family and just be part of all of that. But like, you just never know what happens. And a lot of that happened on the journey, where just curveball after curveball, and we didn't know what to expect. So going on 10 years later, we're still on that journey. We're still going through, we're still trying to conceive. We've tried 4 IUI cycles. We've tried 3 IVF cycles, and unfortunately none of them were successful. The farthest I've got was a biochemical pregnancy, which I had no knowledge about. Is a whole new lesson for me as well, just learning along the way. You know, what I've realized too is a lot of things aren't given to you, and a lot of things aren't provided to you for you to understand or to learn without you doing it by yourself. So just being able to actually understand, you know, what's expected of you along this journey, and what's recommended, and what are the best options, is truly, you know, a project on its own. And just being able to understand what options are there for you and what you have to choose from is just, you know, it's a whole toll that you have to take, for sure. So you feel like you understand where you're coming from and why you're making that decision that you are making. So definitely a lot of learning along the way, a lot of research, just to be able to make those wise choices and not regret, you know, what you're doing along this way. So that was the other thing there. And yeah, so 4 IVFs. Right now we're getting started for our 4th. So that's our next part of the journey. Hopefully within the next few weeks or so, we're going to get started with that. So just prepping and, you know, just honestly holding on to faith, holding on to hope, and just really, really believing that if it's meant to be, it's going to be. No matter what you do, no matter what you try, if it's going to happen, it will. Just give it time and be patient. And that's what I stick by. And for my headline, I'd say, which is the title of my chapter, is "With Hardship Comes Ease." So just continuing to believe that, you know, with every storm, hopefully there's going to be another rainbow there. With every hardship, there's going to be something that will make you feel that sense of relief and that sense of hope. Just hold on to it very tight and just don't let go.
That is amazing. Thank you.
I don't know. These are just teasers, and my eyes are already getting watery. Oh, man. Wow.
Wow. Isn't it crazy how we go from knowing absolutely nothing about this world to literally experts in all things,
literally,
you know, that in the journey, and even, you know, throughout our experiences with IVF, hearing my husband say things about your cycle or what medication, or, you know, teaching them to do injections and things like that. It's unreal how we become experts in this area. When we start out, we know absolutely nothing about it.
For sure. Yeah. Like for me, it was the thought of, you know, like, and I talk a little bit more about that at the beginning of my chapter. Like, I thought it was just the decision of moving forward. I thought it was the decision of, hey, let's have a baby and let's just make it work. And literally, like, we found that perfect time, and it was the summer, and we're like, okay, it's a great time. We're all sitting at home and no schools and no work and nothing like that. But it's just so much more beyond that, and it's out of your control. And you know what, for the families that are the couples or the families that are able to make that decision and have that successful pregnancy, is truly amazing, and it's a true blessing. You know, and it's, and for others, it's just, it still is a true blessing, of course, but it's just how you, you know, how you handle the whole situation, and you truly take care of yourself along the way. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. That is critical, critical. And our last but not least guest today, Courtney.
Hi, everybody. I don't like that I have to go last, because I just teared up listening to everyone talk again. So I might be a little bit emotional, but, my name is Courtney DiStefano, and I have had reproductive issues diagnosed for going on 7 years. I guess. And infertility we had for about almost 4 years with trying, and you know, we had many setbacks during the way, and losses and scares and surgeries, and kind of the list goes on about kind of what we went through. But I am beyond grateful. I didn't think I'd be like this.
You're gonna have us all going here.
I'm grateful today to say that we have a 10-week-old daughter. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay, love.
Mm-mm, don't be sorry.
So, yeah, that is us right now. We have been living life with our daughter, Callie, for the last 10 weeks, and it has been absolutely amazing. And I've been grateful for every second, because the road that we went through to get here was complete shit, just like everyone else's on this journey. And it was hard and painful, and the comments that you get along the way about why aren't you having a baby, it just breaks your heart every time. But just to be here and to say the words that I have a daughter is just like something so special. And I think I've said this a few times, because I'm starting to be more active on social media, kind of sharing about our journey, but it did take me this long to share it. But I was at the point in our journey that I really didn't know if I would ever say those words. I didn't know if I would ever say I had a daughter or a son. And I don't think I was at ease with still having those words. Like, I know some of the girls, like, they were okay. And I don't think I made it to that point yet in my journey that I was going to be okay without being a parent. And I don't think I actually would ever be. I think it's just something that, you know, you always thought about it, but nonchalantly when you were younger. Like, it was just, you know, I want kids one day. And we didn't want them when we were in our 20s, because, you know, we were both working and we loved traveling and we wanted to be married, but there was no rush for anything. And then once we started to try actively when we were, I was about, I think, 31, just after getting married, it was, you know, something out of a nightmare, especially when everyone around you and your family is getting pregnant by the drop of a hat. And I literally do mean that. And then you're just finding out all these issues that keep arising. And then, like the other girl said, things that you didn't even know that like existed or were real issues. So that's just kind of my backstory. But I am really, really happy right now to be a mommy. And it's just, it's a beautiful feeling for me and Mark right now. And if I were to describe our journey, it would be the perfect storm. Just if anything could go wrong, it kind of did. But at the end, we had our rainbow. At the end of a storm, like when the day finally clears and the sunlight comes up, I think that was Callie for me. Just kind of getting to the end of that, and it wasn't the whole pregnancy I was worried. It wasn't, we didn't announce it till we were 28 weeks, I think, because I was just so nervous to say anything or to announce it to anybody. But once we finally did, I just wanted to live in the moment, and I was so happy being pregnant. And I cherished every single minute, because again, like, I don't know if I'll ever have that feeling ever again. So it was a whole surreal moment for me, and just grateful beyond words to have our girl with us right now.
Yes, that is. Congratulations on your little girl.
Thank you.
And I think it's important that you said that you weren't sure if you would ever be okay with that, with not having a child or not being a mom, if you have children or not children. I feel I also struggle with that a lot. And I am not at peace with it one way or the other. You know what I mean? I feel the pull so strong that I cannot make that peace with it. And, you know, again, it's the same kind of thing with the perfect storm. And at the end of the storm, there is always a, you know, maybe not always a rainbow, but there is a clearing of the storm. And your journey may not unfold the way that you anticipated it to. And you might not get to the goal that you necessarily wanted, but you will get to the end of it one way or another. And it, you know, it will be okay. But yeah, I think that's super important. That's awesome. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining us today and for diving into a little bit about each one of you and kind of how you got to where you are today. I know it hasn't been an easy road for any one of you guys. I would really like to know, or we all would like to know, how you guys came to meet each other and how the name Where's Helen was born.
So I will take over that. It's almost actually a year in, I guess, on the Thanksgiving weekend, it'll be a year that all of us met. We were at our fertility clinic. It was very early on a Saturday morning. And like always, you have to go in and get blood work and the ultrasound done, starting your cycle. So that's kind of where, I guess, all of us were at that time. And when I went over to pick up medication to start, this was going to be my second IVF round. I went over to the desks and nobody was there. And I saw another woman sitting in the waiting area, which was Jenny. And I kind of just asked her, like, what's going on? Where is everybody? Like, where are we getting our meds from? And she was like, oh, Helen's doesn't come until later. She's like, so we're all like, she doesn't come until 7. And I looked at my watch and it was 6:20. So you're kind of like, what? Like, usually you're in and out, especially in a pandemic. You come in and you get everything and you're out the door because they don't want anybody like waiting there. But by the time 6:45 came, there was 9 girls in the waiting area waiting for Helen. And it was the same thing. Every time somebody came in, it was like, where is everybody? And we'd have to explain about where's Helen. And we had to explain that she wasn't coming in. And it was like, oh my God. So I was just looking around the room, and I think during going through infertility, it can be very lonely and isolating. And even if you do share with your best friend or your mom or your sister, if they haven't gone through it, they don't completely get it. They don't understand the level of impact that it's putting on your life, because they want to stay positive. And, you know, they keep telling you, just keep trying. And you're like, you don't get it. Like, so I was just looking around at everyone and I had this deep feeling. I was like, I hate that they're all going through this and maybe they need support. Cause like, I know I do as well. So me being the social butterfly that I am, I just kind of blurted out, hey girls, do you guys like want to be my friends and be in a support group with everybody? So, and everyone just kind of turned. We all had masks on, so we didn't really even know what each other looked like. And everybody just like immediately said yes. So that's just something right there, saying like how people need support during this journey and how valuable having this group was for each of us. So I got everybody's numbers, put them on my phone, made a WhatsApp group, and I named the group Where's Helen? So that's how we all met, and we all became, for the last year, each other's support system. And we'd ask questions, we'd ask for advice, we would vent. And between all of us, there was something that someone had been through. So it was so helpful to go through this. And even when you had a loss or an upset or something, like, you could go into the group and be like, this is what's going on. Like, I know I went into the group after this second IVF cycle because it was canceled. And I was like, well, ladies, I'm drinking tonight. And they were just like, you do what you got to do, right? Because like some points you kind of just fall apart. And it was really nice for them to just, you know, not, there was no judgment. They just supported you in any decision that you made. And, you know, there was a definite bond just created so organically, right? So that's how we started. Where's Helen?
And thank God for Courtney and creating that.
Right?
Because I think it's just so beautiful because it happened so organically. So it really truly feels meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, you guys are so lucky.
Yeah.
You're so lucky to have found each other in that way.
Oh yeah.
I think that if it were me sitting in the waiting room, I would look at you like, what kind of crazy person are you? And then I'd be like, yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, they might think I'm nuts, or they might just be friends, right? You know, but they probably all thought both, but yeah, but they still were my friend.
But I'm the opposite. I'm the one that would be in the back of the waiting room in the chair by myself, quiet in the corner, you know, the shy, reserved one. I would never be the one to be like, hey guys, be my friend.
Yeah.
I love where the name came from. So did Helen ever show up?
She did.
That's her. Finally shown up, that's her job.
Yes. We had to tell her about the title of why. How it came to be.
That was my next question, is does Helen know she is now famous?
She does.
Yes. Yes, she does.
That's awesome. That's really great. So the title of Where's Helen has taken on its own little personality. And not only is it your WhatsApp group name, it's also your Instagram name, as well as your book name. Mm-hmm. And what is your book about?
And how did it even come about also?
Okay, I'll talk a little bit about that and then the ladies can kind of add on. So as we were talking in our WhatsApp group, I had this crazy dream, to be completely honest. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. And I personally think, like, reflecting back, I think the dream came from, as we were talking more and more about this, we were just like, why don't people talk about this? There are so many women that go through this and nobody talks about it. So I think in my head, I guess, you know how we are as women, right? All the thoughts are in your head right before you go to sleep. So I think I was just reflecting on, like, this incredible group and everything like that. Anyway, a dream comes to me where I'm like, we should write a book. We should really write a book to create awareness, to tell other women it's okay not to be okay, and just kind of see where it goes. So I presented this dream to the WhatsApp group. And then fast forward months later, we met two incredible publishers that actually take women in to showcase collective voices. And we all said, you know what, there's a space for this. And from that, fast forward months later, we wrote a chapter in this book. And that is exactly where's Helen came from. Like goosebumps, right?
Yeah, I do.
It all started from a dream.
Yeah.
Hey, dreams come true.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
And so that's just, the book is just each one of our individual journeys and, you know, our experiences and what we've been through and what we've learned and how it's transformed us, you know, kind of what we've taken away and where we're at currently. They're unique. To each of us, and in some ways similar in that, you know, we've gone through certain medical aspects that are similar, but our experiences are still each different.
And I also wanted to add, we really wanted to ensure that we were telling real and raw infertility journeys. Like, we went to places and we talk about things in the book that most people, even on this journey, sometimes don't want to share with others. Because we just felt it was so important to give everyone, like, a real, you know, experience of it all and the emotional, financial, mental stress that we've all gone through.
Unfiltered. Love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's so important. And I think, like, what you guys have done is just absolutely, it blows my mind. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Because even for myself on this journey, I have searched high and low for resources, for stuff, for just things to draw on, to feel that comfort with. And, you know, found the Instagram community far too late in my journey. But, and I think even part of the reason why we started the podcast was because there was a couple of podcasts that I would listen to. And it was so nice to hear somebody say something that was really dark. And I had thought it too. And know that, oh, I'm not the only one that thinks this way. I'm not abnormal. This is okay that I'm feeling this way in whatever, you know, situation it was. And I just think it's so important as well for us to have that Canadian perspective, because mm-hmm. a lot of the Instagram accounts, a lot of the podcasts are American, and I find a lot of Australian as well. And we just don't have as loud of a voice, or that I could find, as the other population. So I think this is like having that for, you know, other people to talk about, or when we each get into, you know, your individual stories about the clinic processes and the different tests and treatments that you guys have done, it's going to resonate with so many Canadian women, because they're either going through the same thing or have been through the same thing. So I think it's awesome. It's wonderful what you guys are doing. Can we talk a little bit about the sort of pay it forward idea that came from this book, or that will continue to carry this book forward?
So in terms of paying it forward, we definitely, when we started to write this book, like I said, I think there was like three main reasons behind it, right? To create awareness, to bring a voice to it, and then obviously we wanted to give back. Because meeting at this clinic, there's hundreds and hundreds of women that walk through the Markham Fertility Clinic alone, never mind all the clinics that exist in Ontario or the country. So we really wanted to give back and help another woman in our shoes. So we decided from the very beginning, when we started this book, that 40% of profits are going to go towards funding an IVF for another family. And we're hoping to do that in 2022. So that's our way of giving back from our sales.
Incredible.
That's life-changing. It's life-changing for someone, mm-hmm, for a family. It is. It will be wonderful.
That's why we hope that, you know, everyone buys a copy, because it'll create a full circle moment.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And we know, you know, the cost is huge. And like, we're in a financial position where we've been able to fund multiple IVF cycles, each of us for ourselves. And, you know, some have benefits, but a lot of women, that's such a barrier, and it's so sad. So, you know, that was kind of the vision, is that for someone who's not able to, we could provide that opportunity.
That's wonderful. It really is wonderful. Can we sort of get into what it was like, you know, putting pen to paper, or fingers to keyboard? I don't know. I like the pen to paper idea because I'm old school like that. But sort of what was it like writing your story, you know, reliving it from the beginning to where you guys are now, or, you know, your ending, and even reading it afterwards? What was that like?
So I'll go first with that. Honestly, just coming from such a long journey, whether, you know, just going through these cycles, or just feeling all those emotions, or just battling thoughts for yourself, and kind of, you know, dealing with the shame, and dealing with the hopes and all the put downs, or just frequent comments that are said to you, or the failed tests, a lot of different emotions, of course, that are involved with every single month, or every single test, or every single treatment that we went through. You tend to bottle it up, and you tend to keep it to yourself. And it's not very frequent where you find someone to go ahead and say that to. And kind of like, you know, kind of Courtney, what you were saying with, you may have a family member, you may have a friend that you'll be able to relate it to and just express your emotions and express that, but it's just not the same. And there's so many times where personally I felt like I'm always going to get the same response, or if I tell my mom, she's always going to tell me the same thing, like, just, you know, believe in God and just don't worry about it. And if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's right. Move on. All right. But then there's another month, and then there's another, you know, bad news, another thing that you want to deal with. But I think just for me personally, it was bottled in for so long, and it was just something I knew I had to deal with on my own. Even with my husband, like, yes, I can talk to him, and he was so supportive throughout this whole journey. But at times I'm like, okay, like, he's going to hear more than he's needed, and he doesn't want to hear any more of this. I just felt like I was being a burden, and I felt like I didn't need to talk to anyone. I felt like I could have just dealt with it myself by just keeping it in and dealing with it. So definitely, even when this idea came up for the book, and having Jenny's dream, I remember messaging Jenny, and I was like, you know what, I don't think this is for me. I don't think this is something that I'm going to be interested in or take part in. And being her positive, enthusiastic self, she convinced me to actually just give it a try and just start writing things down and, you know, just looking into the topic. And once I did, I felt a sense of true relief. Like it was just a whole burden just taken off of my shoulders. I felt like I had a group of people that I can talk to. I had a group of like just the support with this WhatsApp group, with being able to write down this information, just being able to talk about it with someone that understands where I was in this journey. I felt like it was honestly such a huge relief just to be able to write it down. It was very therapeutic for me. It gave me a sense of just remembering, you know, how important it is to actually be able to talk, to write, to express your thoughts, express your emotions, and to not bottle it in, because it's honestly, it does take a toll on you in the end, and you don't even realize it.
Oh, 100%. I can relate to that. I don't know how you've got your 9-10 years into one chapter.
Yeah.
Because for me, like at 7.5 years, we were trying to do like a podcast episode of my journey. And I think, am I on like part 3 now? You can't fit it in because there's just so much stuff. And once you start to like relive it again and think about what you've been through and you forget certain details, or sometimes you end up glossing over things that were like so huge. And then you kind of have to take a step back and be like, oh yeah, wow, this was actually a really big moment. But it's, yeah, absolutely. Talking about it, writing it down, so therapeutic, to help you kind of deal with all of the trauma that you've been through.
Exactly. Yeah. And just, you know, having that channel, having that method to be able to, you know, express your thoughts, express your emotions, whether someone's reading it or not, honestly, it's just, it's about just a way to let it out.
It's just a win. You write it out, it's therapeutic, but then it's also a win because you never know, like it will help someone. I just know that it's going to help someone. I feel like you just talking to you guys right now, I've gotten like nuggets, little tips here and there, and it's already shifting my perspective on a few things. So thank you already.
Seems like so many of you are in education, right? Or teachers. So you work with children a lot.
Yeah.
How has that been like throughout your journey? Has it been something that, is it separate from your journey, or has it affected you? Because like for myself, I found that it's really impacted me in a lot of ways, like professionally and personally, because I do a lot of work as well with young children. So, and babies. So I have found it in the past extremely difficult. So I was just wondering from a teacher's perspective or working with children, how has that been?
I'd say, so I teach grade 2. So I would say it's been hard in some ways, but also really special in others. And I'll explain why. So the hard part is grade 2s are bluntly honest, right? The second, oh, Miss Lange, like, how old are you? Oh, you're 37. Oh, my mom's 32 and she has 4 children. Oh, that's great. So it's a lot about, you know, about that stuff. And then you just see those moments, you know, with their parents and just, you know, the connection, and you're looking at all that and you're like, oh, I can't wait to have my own. So I'd say it was hard at times, 100%, especially in my class. But the special part about it is being around children to me is such a beautiful, and like, I'm so fortunate to have that job because they bring so much light. They, you know, bring out the best in everything, like in terms of joy, in terms of, you know, on days where you're feeling like terrible, like it's instantly replaced with like the things that come out of their mouth. So I'd say that it kind of got me more excited about like, okay, when this happens, I'm going to have a child that I get to drop off at school and experience like the first day of school. So some days you'd be like really sad about it, that it still hadn't happened for you. And other days you were like, I'm holding on to hope.
So for me, I work with high school students, and to be quite honest, the first few years of my journey, like I'd say the first 3 years, I was very bitter and angry. I would be in the grocery store and see someone, you know, or outside and see someone smoking beside their baby, and I would be so pissed that they get to have a baby and I don't. And in high school, you know, we deal with a lot of kids who are neglected, or I can't tell you how many parents have pretty much asked me, how do I parent my child? And again, that bitterness would come in of, why do you get to be a parent? And slowly, you know, and after year four, year five, I kind of hated who I was becoming because I was so bitter and angry, and kind of pivoted just with a lot of strategies. It's all in my chapter. And I kind of pivoted my thinking of, and instead of looking at what I don't have, what do I have, or what kind of impact can I make? And so I kind of just shifted to looking at, how can I help these kids, and seeing that as a really positive thing, and not focus so much on the bitterness, but more on, you know, what can I do to better their life, and how can I make an impact? And again, my thinking was, if I can't be a parent, how can I impact kids' lives in other ways? But it's definitely hard. And you have a bit of that, you know, jealousy or envy of people who have kids. And the same with high school. I mean, they would, you know, miss, how old are you? And when are you having kids? Especially, you know, one of my really close colleagues was pregnant, and, you know, we were kind of supposed to be on mat leave together, and that wasn't happening. So that was sometimes, you know, difficult. But as Jenny said, you know, kids are great, and doesn't matter the age. But it can definitely bring its challenges, for sure. Also, when you go to name your child as a teacher, names can be ruined.
Yes. Yeah. That must be very difficult. You have lots of names that you don't want. You make sure that you don't want your child to be named after.
That's right. Sure. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I also just wanted to add that part of you is like, okay, if I'm not going to become a mom, I am going to love these children, and I am going to not only teach them, but I'm going to raise them to be like incredible humans for this earth. So that helped me to have peace. Mm-hmm. But then some days I'd go home and cry because I'm like, why can't this be for me? Like, I'm such a good person. I will raise this kid so well. Like, give me a bone, you know, like throw me a bone, God.
Yeah.
So I'd say that too.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that. What do you guys hope that people will get from reading this book? What is your dream for this book?
I think support, hope, you know, as you were saying, Elle, like, I looked for resources going through this, and any book that I found was very medical, like talking about, this is what to expect with the IVF process. Like, this is more just finding comfort in knowing that other people are going through the same or similar journey. And I think for those who haven't gone through it, it's also awareness. Like, you know, Courtney has said, and we've all heard the comments of, you know, just don't stress and it'll happen. And, you know, when are you having kids and why don't you have kids? And, you know, just bringing more awareness to it, so that, you know, people can be a little bit more empathetic or at least sympathetic. And of course, you know, we're hoping to give back. So there's, you know, multiple layers there, I think. But definitely, you know, we're really hoping that a woman can pick up the book and just find maybe hope in some of our stories, or peace, you know, a little bit of knowledge and comfort.
And also just like relatability, right? Like, wow, someone that's walked my fucking journey. You know what I mean? Like, yes, like, let me talk to this person, because in life, it doesn't matter what you go through, until you meet someone that's literally walked the same path, no one truly gets it unless you walk the same path.
Yep. That's like music to my ears. It's so true. So true. We can explain it even to the details, but no one's going to understand it. No one's going to understand the emotions. No one's going to understand what's going through our minds.
I feel like too, I always do like a watered down version. Mm-hmm. I don't want to really go as deep with someone who doesn't understand. And then what I've found since we've started doing like podcasts and reaching out to just even conversations on Instagram, or even just the connections that we've built through, you know, our Zoom calls, is that it's like, we're instant friends. It's, you have this bond, this automatic bond that is so weird that it just comes out of nowhere. And it's within like the first 10 minutes that we start talking, this bond is already formed. And, you know, you can create lifelong friends just from that, which is, I think, it is great. It's unfortunate, you know, like we say, the worst club with the best members. It's terrible that we're, you know, having this conversation now, but it just, you create that bond with other women. And then I will have to say, because I've said it in our other episodes, and I will keep saying it until it gets out there to the entire world, which it won't, but whatever. Public service announcement to anyone who's listening right now, who is asking the question of when people are having children, stop asking women when they're going to have kids, if they have kids, anything that has to do with children, stop asking the question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That actually leads into things nicely. So in every episode, our guests kind of mention something stupid that was said to them. I've heard some tidbits here and there today, but do you have one of those moments that really stand out to you that someone has said something so stupid that if you could, you would punch them or do anything worse?
Yeah, give us a juicy one.
I think we all do.
Yeah, I feel like we all can take a turn on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel free to go first.
So my doctor and the one clinic, I call it X Fertility Clinic because I didn't want to name it because I did not have anything good to say about it. So we were there for 3 years. And our doctor there, he would say, this was his line was, you know, and I had asked him at the time, should I be running? Like, should I continue running after this IVF transfer? And he would say, oh, teenage girls can get pregnant in the back of a car. So you can't shake it out of them. And I was like, well, I'm not a teenage girl and clearly I'm not getting pregnant in the back of a car. So can you just answer my question? That like, that's not helpful. And how like ridiculous to say to someone going through infertility treatments as the doctor.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even believe it.
Same clinic, the receptionist, when she was ringing through my IUI, which was like $1,500, she's like, whoa, you could go on vacation for that. And I said, I could, but I'm trying to have a baby instead. You asshole.
I think there needs to be some sort of course. Like if you work in healthcare or you work in this field in the area of fertility, you need to go through a course of like things you shouldn't say to people.
It should be enrolled in like communication class in like high school or like even younger. I don't know.
I agree with you completely. And it's funny because you don't expect that from the professionals that work at the clinic. So I can mention that for me, it was the embryologist and I'm 37 years old. And anytime you're trying to make a child over the age of 35, you are told like over and over and over again, just so you know, over 35, the percentage of your embryos being normal is very minimal. And they give you the stats. And, you know, the first time you're like, okay. The second time you're like, okay. But when it becomes the third and the fourth and the fifth, like you just look at them like, listen, lady, no woman says I'm going to wait until my eggs, you know, they start to age and then I'm going to have children. It's called life fucking happens and shit happens.
Yeah.
So next, like I wrote this in my chapter, like I felt like saying to one of them, like, all right, no problem. Next time, what, 15 to 21, that's like the best time to get pregnant. No problem. I'll take care of that. Like next time I'll remember to do like... Sure, I'll go back and be like, I should have got pregnant at that my like prime window.
Yeah. So
that one really pissed me off because again, I can take it the first time, you're doing your job. But it was just the repetitive of that was just driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. And then personally, I also wrote this in the book. My husband and I are unexplained infertility, which a lot of people don't even understand that world. And to, quite frankly, myself included. But I was like just talking to someone about it without even saying unexplained. And the person said, oh, is it him or is it you? Like, that's just, you know, I'm on a journey with, I was just shocked that that even came out of their mouth. Like, that is so rude. Like, you think I'm just going to dive into that, just talking to someone, you know what I mean? Like, not someone I even knew personally. It's like a teacher friend that I wasn't even close with.
so frustrating.
Oh my gosh.
And I love the clinics too, right? When you're 29 and you go to the clinic, oh, you're so young. You're young. The minute you turn 30, and then, you know, as your age progress and you turn 35, you're old as fuck now.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, your eggs have all shriveled up and basically died, and your chances are in the toilet now. But 5 minutes ago, you were young and, you know, fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish there was wrinkle cream for our eggs. We could prolong their youth.
Sarah, do you have a story?
I think with me, it was mainly just a lot of like random comments of, I think it was like, I'd say from my extended family, a lot of like my mom's friends, a lot of my husband's friends, they would always be like, so how many years are you married for and whatnot? And he would, at one point, he would actually like lower the amount of years into half just so they don't have to like follow up with that. And I'm like, are you literally cutting our like instead of 8 years, he'd be like, oh, it's just 4 years. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And he's like, well, you know, just want to stay away from that conversation, like, why don't you have kids yet, what's going on, and what are you waiting for, and all that fun stuff. The other thing was my age. So I know I started off much earlier, and that was still always, you know, something that was said to me was, you're too young, why are you rushing it, don't rush it, you have a lot of time, and you know, this is something you're just ruining your whole life for, and it's not worth it right now. Like, go travel, go have fun, which I did, but that's still not something I want to hear. I want to be able to do it, and I want to be able to give it a try and continue on this journey. And that's pretty much like just the consistent comments that I've been told is, you're too young, you don't need to rush it, just give it time. You know, you have nothing wrong. It's going to be okay. You're the ideal IVF candidate. Just let it be. And that was a little frustrating at times, just because I know, and clearly I've been on this journey for almost 10 years, and I'm not too young anymore, and I'm getting there. So it doesn't really matter. Age does not make any difference there, whether you're young or old or whatever gender, whatever race, anything like that. If it's infertility, it doesn't matter. It just applies to everyone.
Absolutely. I wish I had taken your, you know, tip there of cutting the years that you've been together in half. Because I've been with my husband for 10 years. So as well as you get on in age, because I'm not in my 20s, and you know, you've been together for a certain amount of time, it's the automatic second question.
Yeah.
You know, oh, how long have you guys been together? 10 years. Oh, do you have kids? It just seems to like naturally spew out of people's mouths.
Mm-hmm. And I wish it was like, do you have kids? It was more like, how many kids do you have by now?
So I wish in like social situations with people that we didn't really know or that I wouldn't see again, I wish I had cut my time in half and be like, yeah, we just got married.
Yeah, and like every anniversary, every occasion, every birthday was like, oh, like hopefully next year you'll have, you know, a child or two. And the next year after, it's the same thing. And I was like, okay, like, you know, you anticipate and you hope and you try that maybe for, you know, the next birthday or the next occasion, you have that baby or you have that child, you have that pregnancy announcement, and it just doesn't come and it doesn't happen. And then you get those random comments, like, maybe next year you'll have a child in your arms. And I'm like, yeah, hopefully. But so it's just those, you know, the random unnecessary comments. And just truly the age factor was a main one for me, just that you're so young and you don't need to rush anything.
What about Courtney? Do you have any good stories with some stupid people?
There's so many, but two stick out to me a lot. And one is from like somebody in the medical team, and then another is just a person. So it was years ago, and one of the paramedics, I'm also a paramedic. I don't think I ever said that in the podcast yet. But she's also a realtor, and she does a family event every year for her clients and stuff. So it has tons of kids. And Leah, you would love it because it's Disney themed every year. And she actually gives away a trip to Disney to a family. Like, there's a draw, and like, it's amazing. And it's a charity event, and she raises money for charities, and it's just beautiful. But obviously at these events, there are tons of kids. It's all of my friends' kids there, right? And we go to support and everything like that. And I was at a time that I was hurting, but
I wanted to go, and Mark ended up with a migraine that day, so I went solo this time. And I was holding one of my friend's daughters, and I was playing with her, and I was having a really good time. Like, I was, you know, I was just kind of fine with all the kids, and I was actually just like really enjoying my time there with everybody and socializing and playing with all the kids and doing that. And a guy from work, he had just had a baby with his wife, and I think the baby was just like a few months old. And, you know, he's just like, oh, look at my baby. Look how beautiful she is, blah, 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 blah. You know, like a proud parent and everything like that. And I was like, oh, like so cute and stuff. And he's like, well, when are you going to have kids? And I was just like, in my head, I was like, always this goddamn fucking question, right? So I tried to like kind of bitchily push it off, but not so much. But I was like, well, you know, I guess 9 months after we get pregnant, like kind of like me, ha ha, but like fuck off at the same time. But the cue was not caught. And he was like, because we have, at the time, we have Murphy and Yogi, and those are our cat and dog, and we literally take them everywhere with us. And everyone knows that we have these animals. And he was just like, well, you know, like, animals aren't real babies. Like, that's not a real family. And in that moment, my heart just sunk. I wanted to punch him in the fucking face so badly. I cannot tell you how upsetting what I was. And then I had to like just be like, oh, I gave my friend back her daughter. And I walked into the bathroom and just bawled. And I just broke down, and I was just, my whole night was ruined. Like, I was just having such a great time and being around, and I was fine with everything. And just those words flipped me. And I was just like, I can't be here any longer. And I remember on the way home calling Mark and crying and just being like, he's like, are you okay? And I never told him what really happened, but I just told him, I was like, just to being around all these kids, right? And so that was really hard to go through, and amongst the other dumb comments. Mm-hmm. And then after our first IVF cycle, I don't know if anyone else has gone through this, but the counselors call you. I don't know if any of you guys have ever had a counselor call you or anything like that.
Like the genetic counselor?
Or yeah, like it's a genetic counselor. Like, they call you like to see how everything is and how you're doing and blah, 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 right?
No.
And yeah, so it's like one of the counselors from the team. And I'm like, yeah, sure, we'll have somebody call us, right? But I guess there is no connection between what happens in your cycle and them. Like, they don't know anything. So when the girl called me, it was like, I know I'm going to be rude right now, but just like this peppy bitch. Like, hi, how are you? Is this Courtney? Our IVF cycle ended with zero eggs, right? Like, starting from 19, going all the way down, like this cycle and up to zero. And I was like, we were in such a low spot. And then this person was like, so everything that happened, so like, you got everything out of this cycle that you wanted? And I was like, I'm so sorry, what? And she's like, so like, are you happy with what happened with this cycle? And I was like, like, is this a mean fucking joke? Like, are you kidding me right now? And she was like, I'm so sorry, I don't understand. I'm like, we got zero eggs. How the fuck do you think I was? Like, obviously I was mad, and I was swearing this much at this person. Like, I was like, are you like so insensitive to say that to someone? And then she was like, oh, I'm so, like, we don't get the results. I'm like, don't you guys think that you should have some kind of information on how this went, since we already agreed to speaking to you, right? So the PHIPAA, like, we've already agreed to this. You're in the circle of care right now. Mm-hmm. You should know what has happened. So I don't know if they've changed it since then, but like, I could not believe how poorly that was handled. And to call somebody that just like literally world has crashed, and to say that was like such a punch to my heart that like, I don't, like, I was just like, I just told her, like, I'm like, I can't believe you would call somebody with no information and say all that. Like, you guys need to switch the way that you do things, because if somebody is at the edge of tipping, like, you could really push someone like right over it. Oh, right. Yeah. So yeah, those are two of my things that I can think of at the top of my head that just were awful experiences.
They did you a disservice. They didn't help you at all.
No, not at all. Like, they just made things worse. And I was like, fuck these people. Like, that's how I felt from, and those are supposed to be people that are helping you, right? Like,
it all goes back to the sensitivity training. Like, how are you in this profession and not
yeah, and like, IVF cycles all the time and all that shit, like, they never go as planned. You know, no one's like,
no,
I did this and everything was perfect and I got 19 eggs and they're all an A plus grade. Like, you know, so maybe asking, you got everything you hoped for, like everything's, you're like, maybe asking, no, like, how did your cycle go? I'm here for you. Maybe, yeah, that, mm-hmm, you know,
or even just, how are you? Like, fuck, yeah, man.
Just, how are you? Yeah. Just simple words, right? Just choosing simpler words instead of something that's so insensitive. And, you know, I think that would set anybody off. Maybe, oh, yeah, it's just me, but
no, mm-hmm, I'm glad that I don't have that service at my clinic. I think it stopped. It must've stopped because we haven't gotten any of those calls. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Like it was unreal getting, maybe it was just that person. Maybe they were new. Maybe, I don't know, but yeah, you should, it's a no question to ask.
Also read the room. Like, don't jump in so peppy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think one of our guests said that once where it was just like the phone call of reporting a negative, but the person was so preppy and happy, like it was misleading. And then, oh, by the way, you're not pregnant. Like, yeah, okay. Like, why were you so happy? Like, just monotone it a little bit, which,
yeah, just like, hey, Courtney, I just want to give you some news. The pregnancy test was negative. And you're like, excuse me? You're like, what?
Yeah, no, that's how, yeah, it goes. Wow.
I feel like too, all of the, like the shit people say and stuff like that, they always come as like a gut punch. It's like, it's never when you're prepared for it and ready to like fire back. And you know, it's always when you least expect it, or it comes from people that you wouldn't expect or in a situation that you wouldn't expect. And it's like, you're always blown away by it. One, the audacity of people to ask the questions that they ask sometimes in the comments that come out of people's mouth. You just think, well, and it doesn't even need to be infertility or fertility related. Sometimes people just say stupid shit in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they shouldn't be allowed to speak. Thank you guys so much for sharing some of the stupid shit people said and some lovely advice that you've gotten. that was really good. Can we go into a little bit about some of the book details?
Mm-hmm.
Like when the book's coming out, how does one order the book?
Where can they get it?
Yeah, so we just had pre-sales the last couple of days for our friends and family. And the book will be, so we actually have it in our hands, which was really exciting and cool to see. It'll be available on Amazon on October 27th. So we are going to have like a book launch date. It would be great for people to follow us on Instagram at Where's Helen IVF. And we will be doing the book launch and Amazon. You could find it on Amazon as of October 27th.
Woo!
As, yeah, well as we will still be keeping a link in our bio to buy it directly from us as well.
Yes, and the on our Instagram, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, ladies, so much. It was like our absolute pleasure to talk with you guys today and to sort of get a sneak peek into in each of your journeys and also talk about this amazing book that you guys have put together. We thank you for being so brave for coming on here to chat with us. And we just want to say to everyone, go get the book. If you, yep, are able to get it, go and get that book. And thank you for listening to our podcast episode today. Stay tuned for some more of these wonderful souls as we dive into their individual journeys in episodes to come. And remember, everyone, in any project, including the baby project, you must take things one step at a time.
Got a question for us? Or perhaps you would like to share your story and be a guest on our podcast? Feel free to connect with us by emailing us at thebabyproject_@outlook.com or DM us on Instagram @thebabyproject_. Thanks for listening.